Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Fletcher, and most higher education institutions are struggling with how to meet the increasing demands for wireless mobility for multiple devices and media that students and professors are using. We have with us today Brad Noblet, who is former CIO at Dartmouth, where he deployed a converged wireless network that really changed communications and collaboration as well as saved a whole bunch of money for that institution. Before we actually speak with Brad, I'd like to have a word from Aruba Networks, our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Aruba Networks, the leading provider of secure mobile networks for higher education. Whatever your vision for campus mobility may be, Aruba has the network to get you there.
Welcome, Brad.
Thank you, Jeff.
So tell us, in higher education, we keep hearing about this notion of convergence, but what does convergence really mean, and why does it matter to education?
Well, convergence means two things. First, it means that the devices that we use to connect to this IT infrastructure are beginning to converge in their functionality. They can provide access to telephony, they can provide access to video, they can connect us to the internet. As these devices emerge, the applications that run on those devices are beginning to converge as well, or more succinctly, they expect that their ability to get access to the telephone network or video broadcasts or some sort of interactive server communications for graphics and user feedback will always be available. Secondly, our infrastructure, which is for the most part disparate today, really wants to converge primarily because of the economics. To run and support what I call the big three, voice, video, and data, or the internet, or local network connection, operated as three distinct disparate systems is much, much more expensive than operating one single unified communications utility upon which all these three services are delivered.
So we've got both converging devices, and we also have converging delivery mechanisms where, as you say, all those the big three are coming together and can be delivered via one. Obviously, cost is one thing. Any other reasons why it should matter to education?
In the concept of teaching and learning, to be more effective at delivering that message or create an environment for learning, we really need to use as many forms of content as we can get our hands on. And so it becomes very important to include video as part of the teaching experience, to include the concept of classroom interaction, not just having a professor lecture providing a one-way communications, but to have those people feedback has proven to increase their ability to learn.
Any proof of that actually happening, that it is changing the way that teaching is going on and that it actually has helped students learn better?
At Dartmouth, we have a professor whose focus is on brain science that actually uses the wireless network and its ubiquitous ability to cover around campus to perform interaction with his students during the lecture. And he keeps statistics of that interaction and has shown that there's dramatic improvement in learning that occurs because people participate in the lecture, not just be a passive listener.
That's phenomenally encouraging to me, not only that that's happening in higher education, but also that we have some evidence that it is making a huge difference in how well students are learning. You mentioned before about costs, and we've all heard cutting costs and streamlining costs and that technology is going to save us an enormous amount of money virtually with every iteration of technology that's come down the pike thus far. But that doesn't always happen. As a matter of fact, it sometimes seems to seldom happen, and we can't often quantify that. What's the difference this time?
For the most part, I think it's logical, and my experience has actually shown the logic to be true. If you have three disparate infrastructures that you're capitalizing and operating and maintaining versus one infrastructure, it's going to cost you a lot less. You've got a lot less equipment to buy, a lot less equipment and infrastructure to maintain, and a lot less staff to support it. If you look at carrying that convergence beyond our traditional wired environments into a wireless scenario, you find that even that wired infrastructure doesn't need to exist, which results ultimately in a great cost saving. So I've found that convergence truly has brought an economic model that's much more attractive than running our current disparate infrastructure to deliver these three major services.
When you were at Dartmouth, did you quantify some of that? Can you actually say how much you saved for different components?
Absolutely. As we looked at progressing with the upgrade of our disparate infrastructure versus putting in a converged infrastructure, we were seeing capital equipment savings of better than 50%. When we actually got into the operation of a single converged network between the maintenance of that operation and the staffing, we reduced our operating costs by almost 40%.
And the cost savings and capital expenditures happened not only at the central office arena, but also out into the classrooms itself, right?
Absolutely. Higher education is fraught with moves, adds, and changes. We're always building new buildings or renovating buildings. And so if we continue to propagate a wired environment, we're putting in three times as much wire and three times as much electronics to support those disparate infrastructures. If I have the ability to converge that to one, I cut my costs by at least 50%. And if I take that into a wireless environment, it's much, much cheaper to install a wireless system than wired. For example, it would cost me between $80,000 and $150,000 just to wire a building. I could actually deploy a wireless system, including the electronics, for 30 to 40% of that cost.
It's pretty amazing numbers, and you actually saw that happen at Dartmouth as well. This is not
absolutely
just back of the envelope scratching here. As we look ahead for the next 2 to 5 years in higher education and technology, which is it's difficult to forecast that, but if you look ahead, what do you see in higher education regarding convergence? What do you think is going to happen?
I think the economics are too overwhelming to ignore. I think that we will see many, many more institutions going the way of Dartmouth, where they are collapsing their disparate voice, video, and data networks into one homogeneous communications utility based on the Internet protocol. I think that the applications that are coming forth for teaching and learning are going to force that over the long term anyway, whether the economics matter to you or not. So to meet the needs of teaching and learning, these applications, these devices that are looking for one pipe over which they expect that content to be delivered, convergence is the only way to deliver that.
I think your comment about students expecting this is right on target. Obviously, these kids who are in high school coming into college now are connected to the Internet all the time, and they demand 24/7 access as robust as you can imagine. So it seems to me in order to attract and maintain those students and retain those students at the campus level, you really need to have that kind of capability.
These students are very much used to a full-blown multimedia experience, and therefore are looking at the ability to get their telephony on their laptop, their video on their laptop. I even look at the way my own children operate. They're both in college today. They no longer use a television set. Their laptop is their primary form of communication, whether they're making a phone call or they're watching television or they're watching the latest video. Certainly IM plays a big role in that as well.
With this mobile society that we have on college campuses today and then that the wireless enables, is there any pushback that you see from professors and others about not wanting that capability?
There's certainly been a tradition in higher education of slow adopters to IT technology, but I think a lot of those folks are finding that more and more their ability to create effective learning environment must include IT. The advantage, as you point out, higher education is a quintessential mobile society. The advantage to providing a converged environment where you can get access to all this content in a wired format means you can deliver that anywhere at a cost that's much more palatable than trying to string wires to every venue.
One thing that I find really encouraging about higher education these days is that the institutions and the professors are actually listening to the students who are being treated more and more like customers and paying attention to the students demanding this 24/7 access and also needing to have kind of instruction which involves them a lot more, as you alluded to earlier with the professor in brain research. That kind of attitude is, to me, really positive and important that we have this pretty well-educated society to take care of us when we retire. Let me ask about the economics again. Would you see this convergence as being economically beneficial for large and small institutions alike?
Oh, absolutely. Again, thinking logically, whether I'm large or small, I'm operating three disparate major infrastructure. Just collapsing that into one is going to have a cost savings. Those costs will scale, obviously, the larger institutions saving a lot more actual dollars, but the ratios very much remain the same. And I think they both face the same issues, not just economic, but issues in terms of positioning themselves for teaching and learning of the future, that they're going to have to find a way to deliver this converged content.
We all know that costs for higher education are going up everywhere. Insurance costs, heating and cooling costs, and so on are going up. So anywhere that an institution can save some money seems to me to be a logical thing to do. Any further comments from you, Brad, about convergence and a wireless capability for that convergence and its importance for higher education?
I think as we look out into the future, there are some implications on some emerging features for wireless, the concept of location awareness that can, one, help us affect the economic model by providing more capability for asset management, asset tracking, but also providing a context for communication that can be leveraged in teaching and learning. For example, at Dartmouth, we ran some experiments in our engineering facility where we took the concept of space and time, space being location information delivered by the wireless system, and time that people were actually in that location, fed to a server, created a context. In this case, it was for engineering laboratories that allowed the server to deliver the right information to those people in that venue about the lab setup and also be able to collect their lab results with the assurance that it would be at the right place for the right class. So that level of automation delivered by an open standard wireless system means that I can leverage effective location awareness in the many applications that can result in savings of staffing because I've been able to virtualize that capability.
I think that's a perfect example to illustrate the importance of the converging of the networks to increase the quality of the teaching and learning experience and also saving significant costs as well. Brad, thanks a lot for your involvement today, and we appreciate hearing your insight on the convergence of wireless networks, and thanks to Aruba for sponsoring this.
Thank you, Jeff. It was my pleasure.
Thanks to you and the audience for listening. This is Jeff Fletcher with Campus Technologies.